reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to them, "Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Sidon and Tyre at the day of judgment than for you. As for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to the heaven? No, you will go down to hell. Whoever listens to you listens to me. Whoever rejects you rejects me. And whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Saint we celebrate today, Saint Jerome, is one of the greatest saints who ever lived. He's one of the most popular saints in Italy because he had a clear vice. He had a notable anger problem. He was sarcastic all the time. He used to show off his intelligence, including against other saints, like St. Augustine, not to mention against heretics. And the Romans used to build churches in his honor because they said, if he could get into heaven with his massive anger problem, then I can get into heaven too with my faults. The reason why he's one of the greatest saints of all time is because of what he did with the Holy Bible. It wasn't always that way. Grew up and he received a great education in what we would call today Bosnia, Herzegovina, across the Adriatic. And there, he eventually became a great rhetorician. At 25, he received a conversion to the faith, and he started to have God as part of his life. But as he was traveling around with some friends, going to visit the various holy sites, again, he was more or less at this point going in the right direction. The two friends with whom he was traveling, died because of an illness, and he was brought to his deathbed. And while he lay dying, he had a dream in which the Lord Jesus appeared to him. And he said, "You're not a Christian. You're a Ciceronian." In other words, you were still far more concerned with the art of rhetoric, far more concerned with your speeches than you are with me. He was cured. And from that point forward, he recognized that he wasn't going to spend all his time learning the ancient Greek and Latin classics, which he could then teach to others. He was going to spend the time that God had given him to learn real wisdom, which is the wisdom of the Lord. And how do we learn that wisdom? Is there a pond someplace that we can go and just drink it up? Is there a guru in some major ancient city that we can go and consult? St. Jerome recognized that the place to find that wisdom was in the Bible. So he started to use his skills to read the Bible in Greek, on which he was an expert. But he recognized that the Old Testament wasn't written in Greek. It was written in Hebrew. So he learned Hebrew inside out in order to be able to understand every nuance. And then he said, with all this education, thanks be to God, I'm able to understand what I'm reading. But how many Christians read Hebrew? How many Christians today in the late 300s, early 400s still read Greek? He recognized that there were very few. So he put all his talents to work and over 20 years translated the Bible from its original language into the language that people could understand. Latin, the Vulgate. We call his translation because the word vulgar doesn't mean coarse. It means common. Translated into the common language of the people so that everybody would be able to profit from this wisdom. And he said in his introduction to his commentary on the letters of Isaiah that ignorance of sacred scripture is ignorance of Christ. It's ignorance of his power. It's ignorance of all his wisdom. And therefore, if we're going to know Christ, we need to know sacred scripture. 3 years ago, during this month of October, there was a synod on the Word of God and the life and the mission of the church. Pope Benedict wrote an apostolic exhortation based on the insights of all the bishops who had come. He gave it to us last November. And what did he say in this synod document, this post-synodal apostolic exhortation, he calls it? He quoted St. Jerome more than anything else, and not just this part about ignoring Christ by ignoring his word. He quoted St. Jerome when he said, listen, if the priest were celebrating Mass in such a way that at the fraction, the particles of the host started flying everywhere, if when he started to come to you to give you Holy Communion, he was dropping one host here and one host there and one host there, what would the reaction be of anybody who loves the Lord? They would be scandalized that the Word of God could drop on the ground. And we should be scandalized. And if we were to see that host, we should immediately pick it up and give it to the priest or consume it. He said, but what happens when the Word of God is proclaimed? Words are dropping to the ground everywhere. But the proclamation of the Word is like God putting his body and his blood into our ear so that it can thoroughly get to our brain and start to go throughout our entire body. And what's our reaction? We just let the words drop everywhere. Even though Jesus said to the devil at the temptation in the desert, man is meant to live on every word that falls from God's mouth. And yet we're so irreverent toward his word. We don't hang on it. We don't live on it. Later on in that apostolic exhortation, quoting St. Jerome again, Pope Benedict said that we think about the woman who is a materialist, who goes out for all these beautiful pieces of jewelry, pearl necklaces or wristbands or diamond rings. He said, we should be more acquisitive for the pearls of wisdom that come from God's mouth, the real jewelry that can make us thoroughly rich and shine. And yet there are far more women today, St. Jerome said, who care about jewelry and clothes than they do the Word of God. Those words, he said, 1,600 years ago are still applicable. You go to the supermarket. How many magazines do you see featuring fashion or the latest sort of gossip news from Hollywood? How many magazines on sacred scripture for ordinary people do you see at the checkout line at Market Basket or Stop and Shop? It shows what we value. It shows what we value. How are we to change? Today's first reading from the prophet Baruch. The people there in exile recognized exactly what happened to them. It took them 50 years there of being imprisoned as a captive people for them to grasp the mistake. Do you remember what the mistake was? Were you listening to every crumb of the word so much that not one fell to the ground without you grasping it? What was the problem? We, our kings and our rulers and priests and prophets and our ancestors, all of us, in other words, have sinned in the Lord's sight and disobeyed him. Obedience is that word to eavesdrop. Ob audire. Disobedience means you don't even care. We do this when God's speaking. We have neither heeded the voice of the Lord our God nor followed the precepts that he set before us. We've been disobedient to the Lord our God, only too ready to disregard his voice. For we did not heed the voice of the Lord our God and all the words of the prophets he sent us. But each one of us went off after the devices of his own wicked heart and served other gods and did evil in the sight of the Lord our God. Even though God had given us the ears to hear, we were voluntarily deaf. We were ignoring and disobeying. That's why in the Alleluia verse today, quoting Psalm 95, God tells us through his church, if today you hear his voice, don't harden your heart to it. It's not enough just not to harden your ears to it or your brain to it, but don't harden your heart to it. We're supposed to love it. It's supposed to get to the core of who we are. Prophet Baruch had talked about ignoring the word of God because you were ignoring the prophets. And Jesus says the same thing in the gospel today. Speaking to the apostles, he said, whoever listens to you, listens to me. Whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me. Our attentiveness to God's word, the apostles who have given us God's word in written form so that we could listen. Are we hanging on every crumb or are we ignoring it? Then it continues even to this day with what the successors of the apostles continue to teach us. A lot of the times we just allow that sacred word to fall dead and other people trample upon it. So we come, where do we start? We start by making a real commitment. A real commitment about the word of God in our life. St. Jerome recognized that even though he had been baptized, even though he was in the state of grace, even though he was making pilgrimages to some of the holy spots of yesteryear, that at his core, he was a Ciceronian. He identified himself far more with his profession than he did with the word of God. So we can ask ourselves, if the Lord were to appear to us in a dream tonight, would he say to me, hey, Rod, you're a theology of the body expert, not a real expert in the Christian life? Would he say you're a better electrician or plumber or housewife or carpenter or student of math than you are of me? He might. And if he does, that should lead us to as profound a conversion as St. Jerome had, to start really dedicating ourselves to his holy word and to start translating that word for others. We might not be great in the languages. We might not write the new translation into New Bedford Portuguese, but we should be able to translate that word for our kids, for our friends, for others, so that we'll be able to show how it applies to their life and help them to apply it. That's what it's all about. As we prepare for the Word made flesh, let's remember how the Word made flesh came into us. Because as the early saint said, Mary had already listened to the Word so much that she conceived the Word in her heart before she conceived the Word in her womb. That's what we're supposed to do too. That we hear the Word in such a way that we become pregnant with the Word. And then just start giving birth to the word of God in loving actions. Same Lord who helped St. Jerome do this will help us, provided that we don't harden our hearts and treat every word that comes from his lips the same way we treat a particle of the host we're about to receive.